press conference, 18 September 1952.
Please be seated. I want to call your attention first to a booklet that's been gotten out by the State Department on forced labor in the Soviet Union. It's available, and it's most interesting. And I know most of you are probably aware that the United Nations has been investigating the practice of forced labor. The United States has been most anxious that the facts be made known. I therefore want to call your attention today to this factual expose of forced labor in the Soviet Union and its satellites, which was compiled by the Department of State. Contains many vivid examples of what it means to live under present Soviet rulers and indicates the scope of this practice in the Russian sphere and its economic and political significance. With the urging and support of labor organizations, particularly American Labor and the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, the United States and Great Britain requested the United Nations to investigate forced labor wherever it exists in the world. As a result, the United Nations created a special committee headed by an outstanding Indian leader. I can't pronounce his name, so you'll have to read it. This committee held hearings in New York in June and will continue its investigation in Geneva beginning October the 14th. The United States government made available to the United Nations committee such evidence as it had of forced labor in the Soviet sphere. State Department has summarized all these facts in this booklet, and it's most interesting reading. And it is, for a wonder, in language that's easy to read. It hasn't very many State Department words in it, so you'll have a good time reading. Irv tells me that there are copies available for you at the door when you go out. I'm ready for questions.
Mr. President, I'm sure you anticipated the question on this one. General Eisenhower said that during 1946 he was in Georgia and he was directed to turn to Washington to assume command of the railway strikers just as they were to be drafted, and he refused with a bitter protest.
No such conversation took place, and the chief of staff would never refuse an order from the commander-in-chief. I know that. If he had one, which he didn't in this case.
No such conversation took place. And I wonder if we could have that read back, sir,
because... No such conversation took place, and I know that the chief of staff of the United States Army would not tell the commander-in-chief that he would not obey an order. That just isn't done. Roger informs me that somebody else might have had a conversation. Now, I'm talking from my own knowledge. No conversation took place as far as I'm concerned. Never thought of any such conversation because the strike was settled before it was necessary to do anything.
President, in light of the same story, the papers carried word that informed sources at the Eisenhower headquarters said that he had informed you he would resign as commander-in-chief and his army commission rather than act as a strikebreaker.
I'm sorry that the informed sources are grossly misinformed.
That never happened.
Of course it didn't.
President, did Governor Stevenson ask you to make this long whistle stop tour?
Yes, the National Committee did. Which represents Governor Stevenson. He's in agreement with it, I can assure you of that.
You're still in the ranks.
How's that?
You're still in the ranks.
Oh, yes. Expect to stay there till things over.
Mr. President, you said Mr. Tubby had said that such a conversation might have taken place with someone else. Did it, to your knowledge?
No. Not that I know of. I know nothing about any such conversation. It's just come out of the free air just lately. It's a political proposition entirely.
Mr. President, I got sort of lost when we jumped to another subject. Could Mr. Romagna read back to us one or two sentences of the last of your comment, but just before the question about the whistle stop?
Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to be accurate.
Do you know what the question was, Bob?
Well, it was your last sentence or two of comment on the Eisenhower matter.
All right.
That came after your statement that no such conversation took place as far as I am concerned.
The original first part?
No.
No, that's the last two sentences.
Oh, yeah. The last
two sentences.
So no such conversation took place. And I know that the Chief of Staff of the United States Army would not tell the Commander-in-Chief that he would not obey an order. That just isn't done.
Now, there were a couple of sentences after that.
So Roger informs me that someone else might have had a conversation. I am talking from my own knowledge. No conversation took place so far as I am concerned. Right.
Yes, but there still were a couple of sentences after that.
There never was talk of any such conversation because the strike was settled before it was necessary. Is that what you mean?
That's right. The strike
never was talk?
Yeah.
It never was necessary to have any such conversation, I think I said, because the strike was settled before the message to the Congress was completed. It was settled while I was reading the message.
Mr. President, in 1948, I believe after you whistle-stopped through upstate New York, you told Mr. Walter White at the NEACP that you were sure that you were going to win the election. I noticed that you are going to whistle-stop through upstate New York again this year. Do you think that will give you the same idea of the trend of the way the election's going?
I can answer the question better after the trip.
I think Mr. Biffle was going around the country disguised as a chicken farmer and reporting to you. Do you have any such agents to this time?
I'm not a candidate this time.
Mr. President, Republicans say South Carolina is going presidentially Republican. How much majority do you think I can get down there?
What was the question?
The Republicans say South Carolina will go Republican in the presidential election this year. How much majority do you think Ike will get down there?
I'm not an authority on Republican majorities, so I can't tell you.
Mr. President, do you plan to make public your report to you last February on the subject of psychological strategy by Gordon Gray?
No, I do not. The parts of it that can be made public have been made public, I'm sure. I do not intend to release the report.
Mr. President, now that your favorite Republican candidate, Senator Taft, seems to have gotten into the act, would you care to comment on the Republican campaign as it stands now with both Eisenhower and Taft working together?
I would refer you to a statement by the candidate for president, Governor Stevenson. I think he answered that completely.
Are you referring to the statement, sir, that, in which he said that that General Eisenhower had surrendered to the senator?
That's the one.
Mr. President, you think Mr. Lausch is going to be able to beat Mr. Taft in Ohio?
I don't know anything about Ohio politics, and I can't answer the question. The best thing for you to do is to go out there and talk to Lausch.
Governor Stevenson, perhaps, before you move west?
If he wants to see me, of course, I'll be glad to see him. But he's a very busy man. I don't know whether he'll have time to see me this time or not, but I'll be glad to see him.
I noticed that he was in Springfield the 28th, and you'll be going from Chicago the 28th. I thought perhaps it might be.
Well, I know special arrangements have been made. We may accidentally run into each other. If he wants to see me, I'll be glad to see him. And if I want to see him, he'll be glad to see me. We're in perfect agreement, Joe.
Mr. President, when Mr. Thomas Fairchild of Wisconsin called on you yesterday, was he able to convince you that he might beat Senator McCarthy next month?
He impressed me as being a very able and decent citizen and one that any Democrat can endorse for the United States Senate. And I hope he wins.
Do you know of any plans for you to speak on the same platform as Governor Stevenson during the campaign?
No, I don't.
Mr. President, more to the point, you won't be back from New London in time to meet Governor Stevenson when he comes through here Saturday.
I don't know what time he's coming through, Tony, and I can't answer the question. Ask Governor Stevenson about his plans. I didn't make them.
I didn't know whether you'd be back in town. That was the point.
I'll be back in town just as fast as a plane can bring me after we have lunch up there. That ought to be around 3 o'clock, I judge.
I also wondered if you had any comment on some of the Republican criticism of Governor Stevenson's witticisms in some of his speeches.
Governor Stevenson's speeches impressed me as being excellent. And if the Republicans don't like these humorous jibes at themselves, I'm sorry that their hide is so tender.
Senator Taft said in his speech yesterday in Springfield, Ohio, that only the Congress of the United States saved this country from going socialistic. Would you agree with that evaluation?
I would not. I'll answer that on a whistle stop one of these days and tell you what kind of socialism we've got. It's pretty good.
Mr. President, do you have any comment now on how the Democratic campaign is being handled?
The Democratic campaign is being handled in good shape. If you read all the screens in the Republican press, that's enough to convince you.
President, on your Western shore, do you plan to take along your own confetti and campaign balloons?
I never did have to do that. I don't think I'll start this late date. In fact, I'd just soon do without the confetti and the balloons. It gets in your hair.
How many whistle stop speeches do you think you'll make this time, Mr. President?
I don't know, Bob. I haven't the slightest idea. I'll just go where I'm told and stop where I'm told.
I noticed that your itinerary is given out is just about as long as any of your train trips up to now. And I remember one similar trip, you made 64 speeches.
Well, let's say we made the... maybe the same speech 64 times, but it accomplished the purpose. I'll stop wherever they want me to, Bob, and do the best I can. And to tell you the honest truth, I always enjoy it. I had a good time coming across West Virginia the other day.
We enjoyed it, too.
Thank you, sir.
It's all right, Bob.